My name is Bobby Rodriguez. I am the director of this ministry, Gather, and I want to welcome you here tonight. If you're new, get excited. Everything that Trevor just said about family, I hope to be true, and we hope to invite you in. Welcome to our family at Gather. And if you've been coming, welcome back. We're excited you're here. I get to start off our series on 1 Peter. There are five chapters in the book of 1 Peter, and tonight we're going to just be looking at chapter 1. So that's what Robin just read. But before I get into all of the history and what's going on in this book and who wrote it and all the things, I need to tell you about my vacation this past summer. Yeah, okay. So this past summer, my family, which we have been going for many years, we packed up my mother and dad, my extended family. We all went to the white sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, right? The promised land, as I like to call it. And my mom, every year at Christmas time, says, okay, we are going to go this time of the summer. Sometimes it's July, sometimes it's August. And she told us, hey, we're going to go at the end of July. It's going to be really great. And I thought, oh, yes, that's going to be really awesome. Because I don't know if you have had the same experience as me, but 2020 and 2021 have been, like, pretty hard. Like, given all of the COVID things we've had to deal with, I got a new job. That's really interesting. I had to learn a whole bunch of new things. And instead of a bunch of 12-year-olds, I'm talking to a bunch of not 12-year-olds. And so that's a little nerve-wracking from time to time. And so in that moment with my mom at Christmas time saying that, I thought, oh, that's going to be great. And then I found myself, as we fast-forwarded towards the summer, looking at the calendar, sort of ticking off the days. And as we got into the summer, I could feel myself going, okay, there are three more soccer practices, two more soccer games, there's three more gathers, one more gather event, and then I can rest. I can finally just kind of put my phone away. We're going to drive for a couple of days to get to Destin. It's going to be awesome. So that's exactly what we did. The day finally came for us to leave, and we normally drive to Mississippi. We stop, and then we get up early, and we arrive in Destin early on Saturday morning, so we did that. But if you know me, if you're in the van with me this weekend, you know that when I leave for any kind of trip out of Dallas, there is an early stop that I have to make. Anyone know where that stop might be? To Buc-ee's. We gotta go to Buc-ee's, right? So we go in and I tell the kids, hey, this is your playground. Go in there and get whatever you want, anything you want. If you want the giant bucket of candied pecans, they are yours. Put them in the cart. We're going to get whatever we want. But my wife, on the other hand, she's more of a healthy eater. She doesn't like processed foods. And she's like, I just don't want to go to Buc-ee's. Why do we have to go to Buc-ee's? I'm like, just woman, we are going to Buc-ee's. Okay, you cannot take that away from me. So me and the kids filled up the car, went into Buc-ee's. My wife stayed inside eating cucumbers or something, right? And we go and we go all out. We touched everything in there because we bought almost everything, right? And so we get to Mississippi, we spend the night, we wake up early, we get to Destin, and most of the time what we do is we get out of the van, we run through the house all the way to the beach and just like, psh, like right in the water, right away, right? And this time we got to, me and Lily are like, are you ready? That's my daughter. Miller, are you ready? He's like, Dad, I don't feel so good. I'm like, oh, buddy, okay, well, stinks to be you. And so I'm starting to put the stuff together, and okay, fine, we'll put everything in first, and then we'll go out to the water. I'm like, Miller, are you ready? Let's go down to the water. It's like, Dad, I think I have a headache. And I was like, oh, okay, well, and I didn't say anything, right? And then finally he figured out that he should have gone to his mom first anyway. So he goes to her and says, Mom, I'm not feeling good. And she's like, oh, well, okay, well, then she does all the mom things. And the next thing you know, she's putting a thermometer in his ear, and what do you think happened? Little man had 101 fever, right? That was Saturday. By Saturday night, 102, he's aching all over. He's got a headache. This kid is like bulletproof. He never gets sick. And we're like, oh, no, right? So we leave him, hey, we don't know. And Stacy's looking at me going, I told you we shouldn't have gone to Buc-ee's. It's definitely got COVID now. Like, it wasn't the Buc-ee's. So he lays down. We wake up on Sunday morning, and he's not feeling it, and we're kind of frolicking at the beach, and then Monday comes, and he's starting to recover, and by Monday lunchtime, he goes down to the water, and by Monday evening, I start getting this little tickle right here, and it's just like, like I couldn't clear my throat, right? And so that progressed, and by Wednesday, So a little less than half of the vacation has gone by now. I am in bed and my whole body hurts. I have 104 fever. And I didn't get out of that bed until Saturday when we left. A 10-hour drive all the way home. And then I got in my bed at home and I was either in the bed or on the couch for another 7 days. So I took vacation days to go on vacation and sat. By the way, the beach doesn't stop being a beach and the sun doesn't stop shining just because you paid to be there. If you're in the house, too bad. You're not going to get to be at the beach. So I spent all that extra time sitting at home just sick from COVID. I had COVID. So I am going to stop that story right there. I know it's a cliffhanger, right? Like, what happened next? I'm going to tell you. But now I need to tell you a little bit about 1 Peter. So the name of the book should tell you who wrote the book, Peter. This Peter that wrote the book, though, is a little bit older than the Peter you might be thinking of. So when Peter came on the scene, and now I can't get it out of my head, I can only think of those beautiful brown locks and the muscles that are on Peter from The Chosen. You know what I'm talking about? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, right? So this is not that Peter. That Peter who Jesus said, you are Peter, the rock, Petros, that Peter, his first mission was to the Jews in Jerusalem. His job was to go and share the gospel with them and to lead a church of new converts. And we see all of that happening in the book of Acts. So if you're familiar with the book of Acts, that's that young Peter. He's like full of fire and he's ready to go. When we get to 1 Peter, we are decades down the road. Decades down the road. He's a much older Peter now. And we see in 1 Peter 5 that he didn't even pen the actual letter. He actually had to have someone named Silvanus do that for him, probably because, like me, he needs readers, and they didn't have really good readers back in the day, right? So he's having Silvanus write that for him. And we can begin to see that Peter has changed from this sort of spitfire guy that he was into a more mature believer, giving more mature and wise advice to these churches. And the churches that he's writing to are no longer Jewish churches. They are churches of Gentiles who are in far-off lands. They're not even in the Holy Land. They are in who he's writing to are places that are in what we would now call Turkey. And in that time, the Roman Empire is still sort of reigning over the known world. And Nero is still the captain of that team. And Nero, if you know that, anything about him, he was particularly hard on Christians. You may have heard that he lit the streets of Rome with the burning bodies of Christians. Like, that's the kind of persecution Christians are beginning to see. And even in these far-off lands, they're seeing persecutions and hard times. You may have seen, as Robin was reading, that Peter's addressing some of those things. So that's what we're looking at. 1 Peter, this book, is a book from Peter, an older Peter, out to these churches to encourage them, to help them see that there is something that they should be looking towards. So I've got 2 points that I want us to look at tonight. It's just 2 easy breezy points. The first one is this. If you are a believer in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, you are saved. I can condense that for you so you might take a note, and it's just this. The first point that I have tonight is the gospel. Just straight out the gospel. The second point builds off of that and is this. Put your hope in what matters. Put your hope in what matters. And I'm going to go ahead and let you in behind the curtain. What matters is your salvation that is given to you by faith in the work of Christ. Put your hope in what matters. So let's go to point 1. If you are a believer in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, you are saved. Peter started there in 1 Peter, and we're going to kind of dwell there for just a little bit. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is saying that this new life that we have in Christ, this is to be our hope. Our living hope is this new life in Christ. It is the foundation of our faith as believers. And he's going to go into it. He's going to tell the people in these far-off churches, keep looking up. I know things around you are really bad, but keep looking up. Christ is coming back. And that's the encouragement that he's giving them. First, remember your faith, and then keep looking up. If you have ever heard the question, how do I become a believer? And then felt a little bit like, ooh, this sounds like a really great opportunity, but I don't know what to say. I would say, listen up, take some good notes for these 5 points that I'm about to give you under our first point, the gospel. The first thing I want you to know is that we are all sinners. If the Bible is the written word of God, which I believe it to be, the Bible is the written word of God, and it is absolutely true, Paula. The Bible is the written word of God, and it is... Paula's in children's ministry, and that saying is something that kids will say if you talk to them right now. They know that the Bible is the written word of God and is absolutely true. And if it is true, the statements that it makes, the declarative statements it makes about me and about you and about things are true. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God's standard is perfection, and you and I are not perfect because God's word says it is, and as a parent, I know the fifth commandment is honor your mother and father. I tell that to my kids a lot. And when I have ever been dishonoring to our parents, that's a sin. And James 2:10 says, it's a little sobering. It says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." My tendency is to say, you know, yeah, I have sinned, but not as bad as the person in jail or that person standing over there. James is telling us everyone sinned. And guess what? Even if you've just broken one little bit, to God, it is no longer perfection. It is as if you had broken all of the laws. So first point, we are all sinners. Recognize that. Point two, sin has a penalty. There is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So what we get in return for the sin that we've done, all of us, is death. Isaiah 59:2 goes a little bit farther to help us know what that death looks like. It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." We're all sinners. The Bible tells us that there is a penalty for that sin, and it is death and separation from him. This life now, walking without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is death unto itself. But when we die, when this body stops living, it spends eternity. Our soul spends eternity in hell without faith. Now, point three, salvation is not by works. Because I think in 2022, I can do what I need to do to get something done. And God is saying, you cannot. You cannot work hard enough to earn your way back to me. My standard is perfection, and once that's broken, it can't be fixed. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, under this idea of salvation not by works, says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Faith. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. So it is by grace that you're getting something you don't deserve. Through faith. Faith in what? In the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the free gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. And the scriptures are just telling us, God is so good. This separation that you've made between him and you, only he can fix it. And point number four, Christ has paid the penalty. 1 Peter 3:18, in a couple weeks we'll go over this entire chapter, but 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." So this is the way. It's what we get to see God doing in the action that he's making. He has sent his one and only son. I have a son. Many of us in the room have children, and I'm pretty sure that none of us would offer that child up for anyone else in the room. And God said, for all of them and all of their sins, I give my son. Christ has paid the penalty for us. Point number five under the gospel, you must receive Christ. You must receive Christ. Christ is the only way to be freed from the penalty of our sin. John 14, 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We recognize that Jesus is the only way, and then we accept the free gift of his sacrifice on the cross is how we are saved. John 1, 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who receive him. How do I receive him is the question I bet many are asking. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth that you believe and are justified, and for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Must receive Christ. We see that he is the only way, and when we recognize that we are sinners, that there's a massive penalty for that sin that we cannot fix, yet God loves us and sent his one and only son to die for us, when we have faith in that act, loving act of God, we are saved. That's it. There's no more to the story. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. That's Romans 1:16. The gospel, that story I just told you, is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Super powerful. Very powerful. But what I want you to think about is this. It is not a one-time act. The gospel and our transition from death to life is not a one-time act. What do I mean? What I mean is this. If you're like me and you're in the room and you've been walking with Christ and you may have shared your faith numerous times, you could go through the Romans road or some other, you could use a Rubik's Cube to tell the gospel to somebody. And when you're sitting here and someone goes, by the way, I'm going to share the gospel. And by the way, it starts with, we're all sinners. And here's what happens in my mind. I think, oh, this is awesome. He's the guy who's sharing is going to share the gospel. And maybe there's somebody in the room who's never heard, and they're going to hear the gospel for the first time. And maybe the Holy Spirit works in their lives, and they are going to become saved, and their lives will be changed forever. Way to go, guy on the stage. I wonder when my taxes are due. Like, is my small group going to be any fun tonight? I really hope that the people who are in there are going to be talkative. I don't want to have to carry the load all night tonight. The gospel is not just for people who haven't believed yet. It isn't just for folks who need to be transformed from death to life. And Peter is using the book of 1 Peter to tell people, remember your faith. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And things are not good for you right now. And instead of putting your hope in something like the end of the problems going on, put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in him, in the gospel. Know that it is the power to sustain you. It is an inheritance that you are going to receive that is undefiled and imperishable. It's coming. Think about that. Keep looking up and waiting for Jesus to come back. So, point number two is this. Put your hope in what matters. Let me go back to this. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9 says this. In this you rejoice. Now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold and perishes, though it's tested by fire, your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith. The outcome of your faith is what? The salvation of your souls. Peter is saying, think about that. Keep in mind the salvation of your soul. I started the talk talking about vacation, right? I did. If I am not constantly reminded of the gospel, I will go the route of putting my hope in things that are not the gospel, even all the way down to a trip 6 months in the future. I am hopeful that that is going to bring me peace and rest and refreshment. Man, aren't those things that Jesus is to bring to us? And our hope in him, shouldn't that bring that to us? Isn't that what the written word of God that Peter took part in is saying, to put your hope in that salvation that is to come? So that's what I'm saying to those of us who are in the room who forget sometimes and begin to put our hope in something else. But I want to think about, how do I do that? What is the practical way that I begin to put my hope in the inheritance that I have that is undefiled and imperishable? And I have a story for you. Have you ever read the book or watched the movie Unbroken? It's about a man named Louis Zamperini who was incredible. He was a degenerate youth who became an Olympic track star, who then joined the Air Force in World War II, where his plane was shot down. He spent 54 days floating on the Pacific Ocean, nearly dying from starvation and dehydration. And then things got really bad for him. A Japanese warship comes alongside of him, rescues him, and puts him into a Japanese prisoner of war camp. There, he's tortured by the Japanese prison guards. And then one that he gives it his special nickname, the Bird. This guy, if you've ever read the book or saw the movie, was terrible to him, to the point that he terrorized him enough that Louis had PTSD for the last year that he was there at that camp. Eventually, American soldiers rescued him, and he came back to the United States and started to live a normal life, but was still plagued by PTSD, this post-traumatic stress disorder. And so, just so you know, the story did work out. I want to show you a little video. Please forgive me for how grainy and like old school it is. I literally think someone was filming their television, but this is the only way that I could find this particular video of an old and frail man, Louis Zamperini, sitting on the couch of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. So let's take a look, and then I'll come back and talk about it a little bit more.
This is really something. I know you eventually forgave all your captors, is that correct?
Yeah, well, it was the result of, they didn't know what it was, but it was post-traumatic stress.
Right.
I had it for the last year under the Bird in prison, and it stayed with me coming home. I started drinking heavily, but I met the girl of my dreams, got married, and every night, without fail, I'm strangling the Bird in my dreams. And one night I woke up and I had my wife in my grip, and it scared me to death. And so she decided to get a divorce, filed for it. And then Billy Graham came to town, and a young couple took her down to hear Billy, and she made a commitment to Christ. And then she came back and said, I'm not going to get a divorce because of my conversion. Well, boy, that was good news to me. And she got me down there, and I got under terrible conviction, got up and rushed home mad. But then again, she reminded me she's not going to get a divorce because of her conversion. So I went back again, and he said something like, when people come to the end of their rope and there's nowhere else to turn, they turn to God. Well, that's what happened on the raft in prison camp. And I thought, what an idiot. All the promises I made to God, that I would seek him to serve him after the war, I didn't do it. He kept his promise. I didn't keep mine. And so I went back to the prayer room and made a commitment of my life to Christ. And I still on my knees, but I knew everything changed when I was on my knees. I knew I was through getting drunk. I knew I was I forgave all of my guards, and I knew I forgave the bird.
Yeah.
And that, now, I had post-traumatic stress nightmare every single night for the last year in prison camp up to my marriage. And after I made my commitment to serve the Lord, I haven't had a nightmare since.
Well, God bless you, sir. You're a true American hero. Thank you, my friend. It's an honor to know you. Be right back with Bret Michaels. Always have a reading. Thank you, sir.
What a great story, right? Like, it would be hard not to be excited and know that that man went through all of that. He's just sitting there. He went through so much. But it's not the story that I really want to illustrate tonight. What I want to talk about is me, us. When we engage with that story, when we first open the book or we start to watch the movie and we see, like, all of the things, oh, well, wow, that was hard for him to even make it to the Olympics and sad that he didn't actually win the gold medal. And then, oh, well, he's in the Air Force. Oh, wow, he's on. How is he ever going to get off of this raft? And you start to feel anxious and scared for him because you don't know if he's going to die out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And then what? He gets picked up by the Japanese and he gets put into a prison camp. And then he's beaten and he has traumatic stress. And awesome that he comes back and Billy Graham helps him, the power of the Holy Spirit through Billy Graham helps him to have a conversion that changes his life. And we get the pleasure today to watch an old video of him on national television sharing the gospel with Jay Leno. That would never happen today. How awesome is that, right? But there's that moment that I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm anxious about what's going on with Louis, and I'm worried. And then I get to see that it all works out, right? It all just works out for him. And then I put the movie away, or I put the book away, and then I come back to it later, a year or two later, and I go to reopen the book because it was so good, or put the movie back on because it was so good. And this time I look at it a little bit differently. Because I'm looking and I'm going, oh yeah, that's right. He was in the Olympics, and then oh yeah, I remember. This is the part where the shark almost eats him in the boat, and oh yeah, there's the bird. Oh, I hate the bird. I cannot believe that happened. But I know what's going to happen. Louis is going to end up on the chair sitting next to Jay Leno. We don't have to worry about Louis in the second time we read through it because we know the end of the story. That sounds so Christianese when I'm applying it here, but it's true, guys. We know the end of the story. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. If you heard that for the first time tonight, great. Come talk to me. Talk to anybody with a blue name tag. They want to walk with you through that. They want to celebrate with you that you would recognize your need for God. Those of us who already have had that faith transaction, remember what Peter is trying to tell the folks in 1 Peter, that the gospel is the power of God, and put your gaze on him. Keep looking up. There is an end of the story that we know is to come. That's the tactic that I'm giving to you, the advice to take out of here. Number one thing to do, my encouragement to you is this: be saved. By faith in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, be saved if you are not. The second thing I want to tell you is to remember that the gospel isn't just a one-time transaction and that we can continue to look up. It's what the rest of the weeks of the 1 Peter series are going to be about. Keep looking up because the end of the story is an imperishable inheritance you will receive from the Lord, and you can endure anything here. Here's the last thing I want to warn you about. If you're not having hard times, praise God for them because they drive us to him. But if you're having really good times right now, if your job is really great, if you're here at a singles ministry but you happen to be dating somebody and you're beginning to put your hope in something other than the inheritance we are to receive, I want to warn you against that. Fight with me against the tendency to put my hope in something other than the gospel. I want to leave you with Matthew 6:19 and following. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for the revelation of the gospel, that we knew that we had a need. For those of us that know, for those that haven't figured that out, would you help them to see that they have a need? Thank you for your son's death on the cross to pay for my iniquity, for our iniquity. Lord, would you continue to remind us to put our hope in you, to put our hope in the gospel, to put our hope in the inheritance which you have told us about in your word. You are a good God. Be with these folks. Help us to develop family that will support the mission of being saved and putting our hope in the right place. In Christ's name, amen.